all week, and I'm okay with it. Actually, it's been actually kind of fun. But, you know, the pressure's on, right? But in my role as a hospital chaplain, I have come to the conclusion that everyone has a story, and all of our stories are profound. That's what she meant. They're profound, not because of us, but because the eternal God of the universe interacts with us, is active within and around us as individuals and communities. God's very action in our lives is profound. Being part of a community sometimes means that we share our stories together, we share our deeper selves, seeing God within one another and hearing God's work in one another's stories. I think we can be the church in part by lovingly receiving these stories one with another, receiving the stories not only with tenderness, but also with challenge, encouraging us to continue to grow and become more mature in our faith, calling each other to live more fully into God's purposes for us. So in that spirit, I offer a few anecdotes about my own faith journey. So as a child growing up, I attended a small church with my family right here in Duluth, across the street from St. Luke's Hospital, the United Baptist Christian Church. From a very early age, I was embraced by this congregation, and at the age of 13, I was baptized by immersion. My preparation with baptism, however, focused more on what it meant to be a member of the church than what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. I learned a lot about how congregations make decisions, how we vote on certain things, how all members are expected to make some kind of a financial pledge for the ongoing financial health of the organization. And in my junior high mind, I had a hard time connecting how that which I was learning in preparation for baptism really connected to the sacrament of baptism. And I didn't even know that baptism was a sacrament at the time, but I knew it was important. I have a very vivid memory of that baptism morning experience. I stepped into the warm water, about up to my waist. The pastor had a long black robe, but underneath his black robe he had on fishing waders, so he didn't get too wet. After the worship service was over, I stood at the back of the sanctuary and was greeted by the congregation and congratulated by the congregation, and my wet hair was leaving a wet trail down the back of my dress. I saw baptism more as a rite of passage than as a commitment to follow Jesus. I knew it was important, but I wasn't really even sure why. So fast forward a couple of years, and you'll find our family no longer attending that church across the street from St. Luke's. We moved halfway across the world to Taipei, Taiwan. And living overseas during my early high school years was such a valuable experience. Being immersed in a different culture and learning another language, I've forgotten all of it, but for a while it was really helpful. Having the opportunity to travel just gave me a deep appreciation for different traditions and different ways of living. My classmates at the American school were sons and daughters of military personnel, and they also came from all different countries, families who were in Taiwan doing business. And an American school provided an American-style education for those who were interested in American college. Our options for an English-speaking church were pretty limited. But we did find Calvary Baptist Church on the side of the mountain, and we chose to go there partly because there was a robust youth program, and there was also a dynamic and inspiring preacher. And that church became a haven for me. I made wonderful friends and learned old gospel hymns that we sang with great gusto, and I began to see that God was at work in my own life, as well as in the lives of those around me. I started to think more seriously about my faith during those years. And I went to Bible study and went to classes and youth retreats and learned about prayer. And I came to believe that God was trustworthy and was also deeply invested in my life. I saw my faith in a new light in those years as a personal responsibility to grow in grace and to continue to seek God in all that I did. And while I'd grown up in a family that was Christian in all ways possible, something shifted for me in those years, and I knew that my faith couldn't be inherited. I had to claim it for myself. I had to make a conscious commitment and an ongoing promise to grow in my faith day by day and year by year. It was my first deliberate decision to be the clay, to be the clay at the hand of the potter, and to allow God to permeate all aspects of my life. So after graduating from college and returning to Duluth, and I started teaching at Lester Park Elementary School, and I was faced with a dilemma. The church where I had grown up, the demographics had shifted some, and I was one of only a small handful of younger people in the congregation. I had been involved in Lutheran youth ministries during my years at a Lutheran college, and I was eager for a church community where there was energy and where there was a focus on service to others, and great music wouldn't hurt. I didn't know a thing about Methodist theology. I had never even heard of John Wesley. I should probably maybe not admit that too loudly, but that was then, right? I'd never even heard of John Wesley, and yet there was something about this place that spoke so deeply to me. Maybe it was the preaching, or maybe it was the majesty of the pipe organ, or maybe it was just the warm welcome that I received as a visitor, but something called to me from this place. To this day, it's still somewhat of a mystery, but it's been a really happy mystery. And it occurred to me as I was preparing these words today, it was 37 years ago this month that I joined this church. And it has been a great source of inspiration, and I remain deeply grateful. So through this congregation, I'm fast-forwarding again. Through this congregation, Charlie and I had a transformational experience several years ago on a weekend retreat called Via de Cristo, sometimes known as Curcio. Curcio is a Spanish word for a short course in Christian living. It originated in the Catholic Church, and it has since been adapted for Protestant communities. Over a three-day weekend in a large church community center, we heard a series of talks, and we had discussions with small groups, and we made music together, and we prayed together, and we experienced God's extravagant grace in a way that was completely new to me. I was incredibly touched by the members of the team, people who had already had this weekend experience but returned in a spirit of service to take care of details for us as we lived in a community. They cooked, they cleaned the bathrooms, they prayed, they orchestrated our schedule, and that was a gift to us. The experience really refreshed my faith and encouraged my spirit. Weekends like this one are still held around the area throughout the state several times a year. And if something like this appeals to you, let's talk sometime. Love to talk to you about it. Maybe there is a way to get you connected to one of those retreat weekends. Now, one of the challenges of telling one's faith story is the tendency to focus on the high parts and to gloss over the more difficult parts. So I want to be really clear. My story is not a complete bed of roses. And my guess is your story isn't either. There have been crises of faith. There have been periods of drought in my relationship with God and with the church. There have been times of profound self-doubt, and there have been moments where I wonder, what is God doing with me anyway? If we're honest, I think we can recognize that we've all been there. What sustains me in those difficult times? I made a list. Maybe you have a similar one. Often, what sustains me is a return to the fundamentals. Worship, scripture, prayer, gratitude, rest, talking things through with a trusted friend, solitude, music. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, where Paul writes these comforting words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs too deep for words. There have been many times when the only prayer I could muster was a sigh too deep for words. And I have spent hours at times pleading with the Spirit to pray on my behalf because I had no words. Friends, when we are dedicated to being the clay, to being open to God's action in our lives, to being formed and shaped by the force of God's love, we grow. When we allow our communities of faith to challenge us to higher levels of commitment, we grow. When we fall flat on our face and let the Spirit intercede with us for sighs too deep for words, we grow. When we are dedicated to being the clay, we become who God is calling us to become, individually and as a community. And in the process, we inspire others around us. We reach out to the hurting world, and we invite others into this transformational, this ongoing transformational experience with the living God. And it is a process that never ends. In this season of my life, in my second career as a hospital chaplain, I find that God is calling me to be clay in new ways. I'm finding my identity as a hospital chaplain. It's an ongoing challenge, and yet it is a great joy to accompany people at a vulnerable time in their lives when often the questions and the concerns that have sort of been set aside suddenly are front and center. Part of that, part of my season of learning involves walking alongside people in these days. I'm also working right now on strengthening my own personal devotional life. More deliberate reading of Scripture, more deliberate times of prayer. You know, there's a part of the Bible that tells us to pray without ceasing, and maybe there is some of that, you know, these automatic small prayers that happen during the day. That's still part of who I am and how I practice my faith, but the opportunity to spend more deliberate time in prayer, centering myself and listening for God, that's one of my growing edges right now. And I'm also learning more about practicing Sabbath, time deliberately set apart for rest, for renewal. In today's culture, when we're considered to go, 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 man, is that a challenge, right? And yet it is something that I feel like the potter is calling me to this, to some times of Sabbath, some deliberate times of Sabbath. And maybe you're hearing that as well. We are all in this process of being clay together. And I invite you to see yourself as clay. See yourself on the potter's wheel, becoming what God is calling you to become. Pray for clarity about what that means for you and for your life now, in this season, wherever you find yourself. Pray for what that means for our congregation in this season, in our life, and our community. In a few minutes, you'll be invited forward to receive communion. You'll be kneeling at the rail this week. Pray about being clay. Reflect about what it means to be at the hand of the potter. Now, this might feel a little risky. I get that. But I know it's possible. You can do it. We can do it together. Let us have the courage to be open to being transformed. And may we all have the courage to be clay. Amen.